It was a way of daring fate, of spitting in the eye of the devil. On the eve of what was to be the worst battle of the war, the coming Somme offensive, all leave had been cancelled, and men who had anticipated at least a few days in rotation were ordered to return to the line before midnight. In a more or less sturdy French barn that had somehow escaped the lot of the heavily shelled farmhouse connected to it, an enterprising sergeant had set up what passed for an officer's mess. The food was appalling. He had learned to cook in Bodmin Jail, although it was anyone's guess whether he'd been an inmate or hired staff. But he had come into possession of the contents of an abandoned wine shop, or so it was said, and word had gotten around that what he served was of fairly decent quality. The seven officers seated around the scarred three-legged table had drunk bottles of his best claret, and the bleak mood had changed to a sober acceptance of what they would soon be facing. Verdun was in trouble, the French desperately holding on by a hair, the death toll rising. Britain was mounting a flanking attack to prevent a German breakthrough, and it looked to be a bloody shambles. None of them expected to survive. The bombardment that they now knew to be the prelude to tomorrow's attack had been going on for several days, rattling nerves, but with any luck levelling the German trenches they would have to attack at dawn. And the Germans, forewarned, would be waiting, if the artillery barrage had left any alive. The seven men were strangers. They had never served together, but they soon discovered that before the war they had lived within 100 miles of each other along the southern coast of England. They had one other thing in common, an enthusiasm for motor cars. Three of them presently owned one. The other four spoke pensively of what they would buy if they lived to see the war's end. Candles danced and sputtered in rusty tins, a feeble light that made it easier for tired men to say whatever was on their minds. It was then that the name of Randolph Graves came up. He had driven in the Grand Prix de Monte Carlo not once but twice, and had come very close to winning both events. One of the seven had known him, but the others knew of him. Anyone mad about racing knew who Randolph Graves was. "Bought it in Ypres," the captain who had known him said. "I went to see his widow when I was last in London. She took it hard, poor lass. She'd been at school with my cousin. Not much I could do but say the usual. Died for his country, brave as hell, an example to his men. I doubt it was much comfort." "You never know," the only major present commented, finishing his glass. "My father now says much of the same sort of thing about lads I've grown up with. As if," he added sourly, "sacrifice is a fine end. I'd much rather survive, thank you very much." "What will you do when it's over?" the lieutenant queried, passing the nearly empty bottle. "Stay in the army?"
"God, no,"
the major said as he sent it on. "I had my eye on a Rolls before that damned Archduke got himself shot. My father talked me out of buying it. Made a certain sort of sense that summer. But if I live, I'll have it now, and I'll drive it to Monte Carlo to watch the race." That led to a discussion of model, speed, and cost.
"There'll be new chassis designs when this is over," another lieutenant put in. "Bound to be.
At least between Paris and Monte Carlo, there's been no fighting," the major added, a touch of yearning in his voice. "The Grand Prix should commence again without too much trouble, unless, of course, the roads haven't been maintained." "If there are any men left who can drive in it," the captain retorted bitterly, shifting in his chair.
"It'll be down to us, more's the pity, and none of us have that skill." "I say, let's make a bargain. 1 year after the war is over, let's meet in Paris, with our motor cars, and race each other to Nice. Not the Grand Prix. An affirmation that we survived. Something to measure our future by."
Surprisingly, they grasped at the straw offered, agreeing with the enthusiasm of men who knew they were doomed and didn't want to believe it. The sergeant brought out another bottle, still dusty and quite old. They finished it, serious now, laying out the details of their future. A hotel where they'd stay in Paris, a
the hotel where they'd celebrate their arrival in Nice, how to bring the motor cars across from London, what route to follow south.